Grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated. I'm going to invite Mr. Tyler to come up.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. Sweet. So, you guys, my name's Tyler, just so you know, Mr. Tyler. I may look like Joseph from VBS, but my name is Tyler. Some people say we look like. Yep, and I had makeup on. It was great. So let me tell you. There are a lot of different ways to communicate in the world. We have cell phones. Oh, I'm going to need that penny. We have cell phones. We have letters. And there are a lot of secret ways to communicate with codes, like Morse code. And so one thing that I wanted to show you, one way that people used to talk in secret way, way back in the day, is by secret messages on paper. And the way that you would get the secret message out, see, it's blank. You guys see it?
And the other side.
And then you heat it up just a little bit. And there's a smiley face. You see that? How do I do it? Lemon juice. Right. And so there are different ways to communicate. And one really cool thing that you guys will learn about today is how we communicate with God. We call it prayer. We just prayed, actually. Yeah, you can keep it. So you guys, the really cool thing about communicating with God is that we don't need a lighter and we don't need lemon juice and there's no secret message or a secret way to communicate with God. The thing I'm going to tell you today is that to communicate with God, all you need to do is just pray. God just says, just come and talk to me. And that's what he wants us to do. So, I will get you one later. So, what I'm going to tell you today is that God just wants us to talk to him, and we do that through prayer. And I want you guys to hold on to that as you go off into your Sunday school classes. So I'm going to give one of you guys the Bible to carry it out together, okay?
So first reading is from Genesis. Then the Lord said, how great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and will not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake. Abraham answered, let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again he spoke to him, suppose 40 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, O Lord, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there. He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 138 responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. Called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. I will sing of the ways of the Lord. That great is the glory of the Lord. While I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good.
Amen. A reading from Colossians. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with the growth that is from God. Word of God, word of life. Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, for the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will you give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord.
I grew up in the 50s and the 60s. The tradition in the Midwest was for religious pictures to be hung in the family home. And I remember in my neighborhood, all the houses had the same picture. In the dining room, and put your hand up if you have ever seen this picture. In the dining room, the man at the dinner table with his head bowed, a soup bowl, and a loaf of bread. Have you ever seen that picture? In the hallway, there was a picture of Jesus kneeling at a rock with his hands folded and his head down in the Garden of Gethsemane. Anyone ever see that picture? And in every child's bedroom, a picture of children walking across a bridge and an angel kind of protecting the children from falling off the bridge, I guess, protecting them as they walk. Anyone see that picture? That picture too. Well, our family had all of those pictures, but we had one more, and that picture, and I looked for it at the house. I think I have it. It's a little bas relief thing about this big, and it's a picture of Jesus standing at the door knocking. Did anybody ever see one of those kind of pictures standing at the door knocking? The thing about that picture that I was always intrigued with is that there is no doorknob on the outside. There isn't any doorknob on that door. Jesus is knocking. There's no doorknob, though. He can't open the door. That comes from the book of Revelation where it says, "Listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. The Lord is at the door, and we are inside, behind that door." Now, imagine this scene. You are at home alone after somewhat of a stressful day, and even though it's only 6:30, you put on your pajamas and you put on your slippers. You don't look good, but you're very comfortable. The rest of the family has been away for 3 days. The way you know that it's been 3 days is that you have 3 days of dirty dishes on the coffee table. You're halfway through that pizza that you ordered to be delivered, and someone knocks at the door. "Friend, please let me in that I might watch evening TV with you." Something is wrong with me. And it is me.
Jesus told from the Gospel of Luke must have felt that similar pull store at midnight. First century hospitality was demanded. It's not an option. It's not an option to choose. In that time and culture, one must offer hospitality. When a friend asked, especially for bread, you had to say yes. It was considered a shameful act to refuse. This parable, as Jesus told it, it could have started with a question. It could have started with a question like this. Which of you would go to a neighbor at midnight and ask to borrow bread for an unexpected guest and get turned down? And the answer would be, well, no one. That would just not happen in our society. It's unthinkable that someone would go and ask for bread and be refused. It's unthinkable. We can't imagine that a request for such hospitality would be denied. But this neighbor has excuses. In unbolting the door, he's bound to wake up the children and the animals. It's only a one-room house. And by unbolting that door and making a noise, that would be the end of sleep for that night. The storyteller continues, I tell you that even though he doesn't get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him what he needs. Now, the problem with reading that in the traditional way, persistence, is that the parable tells us nothing about the neighbor knocking and alarming the other neighbors or the animals in neighboring houses. It doesn't tell us that the neighbor asked more than once. We're not told that he pounded on the door. This is an ordinary, not surprising kind of request for hospitality. So maybe we should read that Greek word for that we translate tradition or ordinarily as persistence for its other meaning. The other meaning is shamelessly. And I think we apply that word not to the neighbor at the door, but to the householder. He finally gives in because he is ashamed not to. He is afraid of what his reputation will be if the people in the village find out that he did not give bread when he was asked for it. It wasn't because he was badgered, but because he feared the shame that would come with that refusal. The people in the village would talk if he refused that request for hospitality. Better to let the children be awakened and lose that night of sleep than to have to face the village people in the community the next day for refusing to honor that request for hospitality. Imagine yourself on that evening trying to eat your pizza and watch some mindless TV, and your friend is standing at the door. You know he's still there on the porch. He's not banging on the door, but you know he's there. How comfortable are you putting your feet up and continuing your television watching? How shameful would you feel about trying to relax in your living room knowing that your friend is standing on your front porch waiting for you to answer the door? What if God is knocking at your door? How often does God to teach us to be persistent in prayer, or that we should be like that hospitable neighbor? Maybe Jesus told us this parable to tell us something about God, to show us that God is always there. God is persistent to give us exactly exactly what we need, wanting to give us the Holy Spirit, wanting to give us God's love. And what a love God has for us. This isn't a love that goes away when our lives get messy. This isn't a love that abandons us when our sinly side becomes so much more obvious than our saintly side. This is a God that is persistent and acts in our lives all the time, despite the doors that we have closed between us and God. The man in the parable isn't a stranger. The man in the parable isn't even called a neighbor, but he is called a friend. God is our friend who cares enough to stand at the door and knock, even when we are too ashamed or too full of ourselves or too busy in our own lives, too lazy to get out of the door, too ashamed to answer. And God is our friend who longs and desires to be invited in, who wants